Welcome to Voice Rising with Kara Johnstad. Enjoy weekly conversations with leading luminaries, pioneering visionaries, singers, poets, musicians, and sound healers as we explore the profound role our voice plays on the path to self-realization and global enlightenment. The internationally acclaimed singer, composer, author, healer, recording artist, voice expert, creator of Voice Your Essence, and founder of the School of Voice, Kara Johnstad uses her extraordinary spiritual gifts to empower others. Everything in this world vibrates. Everything has a frequency. A pioneer in the field of voice work and transformational songwriting. Her breakthrough methods are helping thousands of people worldwide fine-tune their body-mind-spirit system and unlock the energetic frequencies of limitless creativity, health, and abundance. Share your voice, ask your questions, join in the conversation. Receive life-changing, positive transformation and rise together to create a sound world. And here's your host, Kara Johnstad.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Voice Rising today. So from a punk rock kid with a passion for mystical teachings to a journey that led her on a path to self-realization, I'm in studio today with Siri Prakash Jensen, who discovered voice as a golden key to fulfilling her star-guided destiny. A professional Vedic astrologer, teacher, and healer, I'm happy to have her here with me to talk about the mystical aspects of tuning into our vibrational signature and destiny. Welcome, Siri Prakash.
Wow, thank you so very much for the beautiful introduction. I'm honored to be with you today. Thank you so very much.
How are you doing in this very early start of 2022? Are you all good?
I'm actually really enthusiastic.
Yeah.
I feel really enthusiastic. You know, there's a big part in kind of the path that I follow, which is called this lion's roar, where you turn and you face the challenge, you know? And I feel I fully have embraced this, and I'm ready for 2022 with enthusiasm. Yeah, it's great.
I love that. Turn and face the challenge and then roar, right?
That's right. Because it's a big part of the teaching of the Shakti, of the feminine principle, which is related also into the sky, this pranic force, where we draw our breath to actually create our sound vibration, right? So it's this power that comes from taking in this breath and turning it in, drinking this, like, the challenge and alchemizing it and making it your power.
That is so profoundly beautiful. What a great thought as we begin this new year to think about it as facing our challenges and letting out a big roar and the whole alchemy. You are a Vedic astrologer and you've also studied Vedic mantra, and I believe you also, I'm sure, share and teach Vedic mantra. And what are your thoughts? Do the stars and planets communicate and literally sing to us? Are they sending us their songs and their poetry for us to listen?
That's a beautiful question. You know, I am a Vedic astrologer, and Vedic astrology is actually built from the signs of the moon. Mm-hmm. And there's 27 signs of the moon. And the beginning Shastra, or the like old first recorded words on it, talk about how the stars sing. And how they create their melody, and it's through our consciousness that it plays out, right? So it's a big, with the Vedic system, I studied not only the Jyotish, which is called the eye of, or the light of the Veda. I study all of the mantra shastra, and I study also too the remedies within it, because we can all learn from wisdom. I recognize from an early age that I really know nothing. And I enjoy being a student in my life, actually, most profoundly. And I think that through the movement of the planets, and if we just look up to the sky, you know, I was talking about in a class yesterday about how when we overlook the simple things in life, like the sun and the moon, we take it for granted.
Yeah.
But we watch and look at their union and what they're teaching us and what they're creating with the steadfastness, you know, the order of the day of the sun,
yeah,
and what it plays out for us and how its rays really help to awaken us, you know, and the consciousness of the moon, the manas, the mind, how it also awakens us, and how this union or this yoking really starts to shift and change our destiny once we recognize it.
So where for you do these two passions that you are so curious about and live every day, where are they intersecting?
Well, I think, you know, we all came out screaming, right? Hopefully.
Right. The lion's roar. The lion's
right.
roar. Facing the challenge. That's
right.
it.
Right. So we come out from this mess of the birth, right? You know, like
right.
the woman bearing down, it's just a messy situation. The first thing we do is we scream.
Yeah.
So I think that I carried this scream like throughout my life, you know, and I always wondered, what the hell am I doing here? Like, what the hell am I doing here, honestly? And I
yeah.
healed a lot of myself as a youngster. Like, I got a fake ID at 12 years old, joined a punk rock band, started writing my own music, because in this mode, you didn't really have to have a skill. All you had to do was have a passion, and everybody gave you a chance at the mic. You know,
yeah.
I wanted to, like, express the inner pain and the challenge and the great love I had for humanity and life, and wanting to discover the nature of this through this intersection. And so through this kind of journey of traveling around as a youngster with my parents kind of freaking out, they were these Danish, very kind of stoic, what the hell are you doing? You know, kind of like with a shaved head and a mohawk. At the same moment, you know, going to Paramahansa Yogananda. So it was these two extremes where, you know, where I think being a spiritual person is the most, like, you know, punk rock thing you can be.
I'm sure.
Yeah. After looking at it in retrospective, is looking at, and that doesn't mean like violence. It just means standing out and following your dharma.
And I was thinking, you know, I was thinking literally as an astrologer, you're literally a rock star, right? You're really a rock star.
Well,
a punk rock star.
Thank you very much. You know, I feel like somehow with that, it's, you know, I mean, with all humility, and it's real humility. You know, I just feel like if we look up and we take a breath, there's so much that we can learn just in that pause and in that silence, and study the symbol and the movement
yeah.
of nature, the sound of the wind and the trees, and what the birds they're singing to us mean. You know, so somehow in this intensity that I have in my passion and how I want to express, there's also this stillness that also sits because I want to learn.
Yeah, and the ears, this receptive listening, they're also connected to that throat chakra, right? So your ability to deeply receive is as much a part of that lion's roar as that roar itself.
Right.
Yeah.
Because everything starts to, it carries this resonance, right?
Right.
So correct. Truth has a sound. We
yeah.
all can tell when somebody's lying. We all kind of know, right? Everything,
yes.
sound carries this frequency, you know? And in that you find where, when you're listening, also you can find the resonance.
Right.
It's a big teaching in the practice that I follow, that you have to fall in love with the sound of your own voice.
Beautiful.
Because it's
because it's
that which penetrates you. Nobody's other sound penetrates you as your own voice. And a lot of people have a challenge because it's quite a sophisticated thing to start to fall in love with yourself, especially your sound, because we're so critical of it, right?
And why is that? Why are we so critical of our own sound?
I think that one big thing, at least in You know, I studied Indian classical music. I lived in India for a while, and I studied in the Punjab and in the South. And one of the first things my teacher had me do was sing the scale up and down the notes for 2.5 hours as loud as mm-hmm. I could. And what I just was crying the whole time mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. I didn't sound like Sonata. You know, everybody yeah. wants to yeah. sound like somebody else, right? It was just right. because through your own sound, you cannot hide. So from whatever pain you're having, whatever insecurity you're having, it all comes through and you can't hide. And I think that there is a challenge for people to feel vulnerable and still feel strong, because they think that to be vulnerable is a weakness. But what actually every great leader and every great like martial artist recognizes fear and pain as part of the journey.
Yes.
So I think it comes into this construct that everything has to fit in this perfect, shiny picture. When I think the conversation that you and I were having was also about this like beautiful sound that Janis Joplin had.
Right.
Right. That yes. was just like this revolution that just moved the well, whole era.
And the interesting thing is, if you read her biographies about her, she could change that sound, but she could change it into a cleaner sound. It's not that she couldn't, but she was able, or she realized that with this sound, this very raw, naked, like a raw diamond, that the people were just so touched and penetrated, because in that moment, I think also it was so rough and so raw, and yet still, I mean, anybody who sings knows what an amazing artist she was, because normally when it's so rough and so raw, it's really hard to tune and phrase because you're just pushing it too much, right? And she was so in time and so in tune and so one, you could see the divine, you know, soul print moving through her body, right? When she's saying, she was so alive, and she was never out of tune, even though her, you know, vocal folds had so much going through. And she revolutionized. She was really the voice of the times. I mean, she really ignited us all, right?
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Right. And this is, you know, a big blessing that, you know, because she was using her sound to move effectively through people.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And it came from a real sense, a real place of resonant truth, which is why it touched people and moved them. And it sounded like none other.
Yeah, I miss that sometimes with all the what we call the melodynes, the, you know, people going into the studio and having it so polished away that I think sometimes or so pitched or whatever that they're missing the soul aspect, that just like we used to hear, you know, the clickety clack of pianos, or we used to hear a little bit the strings sliding on the guitar. To hear Billie Holiday, she would go into this, what we say as singers, this vocal fry, you know, this kind of, I don't know why, but I feel it. You know, she had this,
right. So,
and we miss it because everything's getting cleaned up and being sanitized, but actually that's also the beauty.
Yeah. Some way, I think, you know, I joke a lot with the students. I say, you know, you can't take Spotify with you.
Yeah.
You know, because when we're singing and our sound and our resonance is what we're actually building within our system that leaves with us.
Yes.
You know, this kind of robotic auto-tuned sound is a skill of an engineer and an app or a technique in the studio, but it's not this healing frequency of another human to another human or a human to an environment, because our own sound can shape and penetrate down at the cellular level according to yogic philosophy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we're using this sound current and placing it into space. And that cannot happen through a mechanically or digitally replicated sound.
Right, and we can go into our own cellular structures and the atoms inside our own body. But the amazing thing that I always find so powerful in community is that we can also, with our sound, I can go into your cellular structure, right? Or the group.
Exactly.
That is the fascinating thing. And so we're basically shape-shifting our world and our communities with our sound, because that the one thing is just the vowels and the sound and the seed sounds. But if we think about the words, and do the words have an intent? Do I have an intent of kindness? Do I have intent of goodness or harm? Right? What are the words? How do we communicate with each other? And if you do see sometimes the media and how much fear is there, can we, let's say we can't change that, but could we balance that as alchemists who know how to do
right.
the lion's roar? Can we balance that by saying, you know, more words of love and care and tenderness and all those other things? Right.
There's a real science behind this, because as you know, as a singer, you know, the sound is deeply connected to the vagus nerve.
Right. Yes.
Right. So this affects our, not only our heart and our immune system, it affects our cognitive function. It has a deep impact, not only on ourselves, right? Especially when
right.
we use sounds that of sounds and positive sounds, we're also touching with the roof of our mouth 84 meridian points that affects our brain as well. And when
Which
we get people to sing with us, they also start to do it as well. So this tongue movement is stimulating healing. The sound vibration through our systems, through the vagus nerve, it starts to work and heal our immune system, our heart. It creates this relaxation. So in Nad Yoga, this yoga through sound, it's the rhythmic intelligence that's moving this Vayu, which is this air.
Right.
Right? And then this sound starts to manipulate the smallest particles of energy that activate new patterns and new combination at the cellular level. So in the Veda, they call this Shivam Brahmam Natrame. You know, so it's like this dance of Shiva that gets activated in the cell. And we start to change it. And this is what the singers who are not, you know, that are using their own human sound, start to heal the people they're with.
Yes. It's pretty
and
amazing.
This is different from computer sound. This is computer stuff is also nice and beautiful, but like you really have to connect with our own natural sound. Because somehow also in these times, we're also losing this human quality. And this is very important to maintain.
Let's take a small break and let's all keep that thought in our hearts. How can we reconnect with our healing quality of our voice and maintain that in a world that's moving towards transhumanism?
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. OM Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
With happy clients all over the world, Kara Johnstad knows that your voice is the missing link to more authenticity, abundance, creativity, and health. An internationally acclaimed voice expert, Kara's breakthrough methods have helped thousands of people successfully heal their voice wounds and extinguish the story of self-doubt and shyness forever. Join in group trainings, attend online sessions, Schedule one-on-one time and invite Kara to work with your organization and community. Get started today. Go to www.karajohnstad.com and receive a special guided meditation designed to fine-tune your inner voice and welcome you on the voice journey.
This is Kathy Beal, host of Celestial Compass, featuring astrology you can use. Celestial Compass points you to what's going on in the sky and what you can do with it down here on Earth. We also explore fun, effective, and cosmic tools for navigating this adventure we call life. Join me the first and third Monday of the month at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for Celestial Compass. It's enlightening, entertaining, and empowering.
COVID-19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Welcome back to Voice Rising. I'm your host, Kara Johnstad, and with me in studio today is Siri Prakash, a professional Vedic astrologer. She's a teacher, a healer, and founder of the Golden Shield Institute. And we left off with talking about connecting to our natural healing quality of our voice. Share with me a little bit more, Siri, how that is for you and why that is so important.
That, you know, inherently, I think that we try as humans to emulate others. Mm-hmm. You know, we go outside of ourselves in our day-to-day lives. And, you know, sometimes we get, I like to say, we get hijacked. Our thoughts get hijacked if we kind of get into a trance. You know, we just go about our day. We get into our rhythms. And then life just seems to keep moving on. And then we wonder, what's going on? Right. So somehow through social media, we see what other people are doing. You know, we're constantly filling ourselves and consuming things outside of ourselves. And when we come back to our original sound and we have to sit with our original sound, we have to make peace with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because we can't, again, as I was saying, you know, we can't hide from the state of our being. The soul is consciously aware at all times. Even if we're in a trance or we're being, you know, kind of like distracted, watching Netflix, sometimes we need these things and sometimes we need to just chillax, let go. But, you know, most of the time we're kind of in this state of consumption and lack of awareness.
Yeah.
Right? But when we come back, and then we kind of have this feeling as well as being empty. You know, and we all get to these points, you know, oh, I forgot to do this. Oh, I'm feeling a little bit low. Oh, I'm feeling, you know, we kind of start to get disconnected more and more and more with ourselves. And then we think, we look outside of ourselves and we think, oh, that's what I need to be.
Yeah.
Right? And then we're kind of filling our container with more emptiness because somebody else is living their life and we're thinking, oh, that should be our life. So we're somehow in this state of being disconnected with who we naturally are. And that first starts with the sound, because the sound not only comes from the throat, but it actually starts at the root chakra, mm-hmm. our stability. Mm-hmm. We start to pull the sound through each of these energy centers that spin, and then we have to qualify it. And then we take it through, you know, you take it through the first and then into the second and into the third. And a big part of this knot is in the navel point, you know, where people you see when you're speaking with them, if they have authority or they're convincing, you know, or if they don't, you know, you can see where their navel is at. And then we take it up in.
Sorry. No, I was going to say, it is fascinating that there are. Yeah, I think so too. You can see authority figures where their navel's at. And it's also interesting, there are people in power positions whose throats are not strong. And I'm always wondering, how did they manage to get there?
Yeah, that's something interesting. We can
that's
talk
just
about
fascinating.
That.
Yeah, but share with me a little bit more of the navel center.
Yeah, so we get to this navel point, and even your mom, you know, like your mom says, hey, cut that out. Your navel is active, going, don't do it. You know, so it's also, so we get into this point. So a lot of people, they get stuck in what's called the lower triangle, because the voice comes through the voice box, but it has to travel through all of our energy centers to create this resonance, right? So then we take this up into the heart. Because you can't just bark at people, right? So you can't just say, boom, 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 you do this, you ha, ha, ha. You're not going to move people to do it, right? So a real leader, you know, a real person who's commanding, even if it's somebody like Janis Joplin, who's on the stage, is coming through the navel into the heart, you know, and then taking it to the throat and then up into the higher centers to start to move people. Right? But it always starts at the base. And most people don't want to get to the base. They want to pretend that their ghosts don't exist. Right? They want to pretend all that stuff is, it's not really here. You know, and they put on a mask. And then there's like a lack of synchronization. You kind of, we meet these people. Oh, yeah. Or we know through our friends. Oh, yeah, I know she's going to do that. But, I can see through, you know, we all have those kind of moments, but we also do it ourselves. We pretend we don't, but we do, right? So it's kind of where sound is really powerful and healing. This is why in practice we use a lot of mantra, because this specific collection of code, which are words, help to break through these ghosts that are within us. These Bij mantras. So Bij mantra is like the seed mantra, and every tree is contained within a seed, right? But we look at the seed in our hand and think, oh, it's so insignificant, but actually this is where all of this like life comes. So when we use mantra, like in the tradition I practice, we use this mantra called Sat Nam. Right? So this truth within my identity. So resonating with the truth within yourself. Or we use Wahe Guru, which is the sound of wondrous Lord. Right? So connecting with the truth of yourself and the connection with something that's higher than you. And this is really hard with people as well, because, you know, God kind of has a bad reputation. You know, this word God makes people feel very polarized.
You know? Especially and in our Western, I think in some cultures it makes people feel very connected. In other cultures, they feel very polarized. Yes, I agree with you. We have to be, I see that also when I'm teaching, that some people feel very comfortable saying Lord or God or, you know, and other people, they want to say source or universe, or they just don't feel comfortable with the word, even God or Lord, right?
Right.
They feel like it's a power that is over them, or there's an authoritarian figure, and it's hard for them. And then I find myself sometimes when I coach to find a language where they feel at one with energy and they don't need to be in conflict before they begin.
That's right. But it's kind of a word that's been hijacked. You know, it's kind of been kind of put into a way. But also there's the sense that I see that there's also a need for surrender.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that you give up your sovereignty. And that doesn't mean that you can't say no. But there's a recognition of some field of energy, right, that is greater than our concept even to understand.
Yeah.
You know?
The cosmic song. Yeah.
Right. You know, so it's kind of like it comes down to the sun and the moon, because it comes to this dance of union. There's a light that awakens this dawn where we see everything, and then the night covers, And we have to see through the light of our own consciousness to kind of go down that path that we all have to go through alone in darkness at times. You know, especially if we look at how kind of the state of the world is very challenged. And so when we see, okay, there's got to be a sense of a little bit of trust and love put out there, even in the unknown. We kind of have to go to that well. We don't know at the bottom of the well if there's going to be water. If we go to, like, you know, you travel through India, you think, like, oh, how am I going to find a space to, you know, get something to drink? You go to a well and you think, like, okay, if I put my bucket down there, there's something down there I can't even see. There's some sense of trust that we're going to be received and we're going to be seen and we're going to be embraced. This is also hard for people, I think, because it's one is self-trust, you know, that you can, no matter what happens, you can handle it. Because I believe that we all have that quality. Again, it goes back to this lion's roar. You call on that energy to do it. But you also recognize that that energy comes from something that's so magical beyond, that's also there to create more for you than you can imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it's this limitless space. It's like in the Vedic, they call it this field of pure potentiality. You know, and I think that if we put our prayer into that space, whether it's through mantra or it's through affirmation, through kindness, you know, because it comes in many forms, that starts to create this resonant healing throughout the world.
It does. You were talking a lot about the lower chakras, and you're talking about our shadows and the ghosts, and at the same time you're talking about trust and the energy of devotion and surrender and its necessity. And a question comes up, which is, I guess it's a very personal question, because when I was on your homepage, I did see that you have gone very deeply into Kundalini Yoga. I know that you've have the Golden Shield Institute in Hamburg, which is a Kundalini Yoga center, right? And I read that you were, you know, Guru Nanak in 1992, that's a long time ago, 30 years. And then you wrote that you had direct studies with Yogi Bhajan and were in his inner circle. And as you know, I mean, I'm sure you know this, that in the last year, there's been a lot of voices, because this is voice work, and it's, you're talking about truth and honesty. Voices came forward and were talking about the abuse that was happening in the circles. So I find this a really, these are hard questions, but it is a question that I would love to ask you.
I'm all about the hard questions, because, you know, I'm a teacher trainer as well. I invite these questions because I want to talk about it. And let's bring it on the table. Like, let's do it.
You know? I guess the question is for me, this is a question for me as somebody who is a singer with a strong voice. And I know that in Kundalini Yoga, you're doing a lot of chanting. So I'm assuming that everybody who is in that practice and in that community, they're really tuning to the voice channel, to frequency, and also to deeper listening. And so I guess my question is less with the teacher, with Yogi Bhajan. It's less with him. I don't really want to get into him. I want to get into these things that we are talking about. You know, how can, or how do you perceive it, that we can all sit as a community and have such trained, strong voices, and yet there are people in the room that somehow feel silenced or are silenced? That's the first question. And the second question is, and it's not only that community. I mean, it's happening in all communities. It's happening in homes, right? So I'm not, you know, I don't want to go into the Kundalini Yoga community, because you're doing a lot of great work, right? So how can we also not hear maybe what's around us? Because, and that was a question, I guess it got brought up because you were talking about devotion and surrender. And I was thinking, is this the shadow side of devotion, because there's such a beauty in melting. There's such a beauty in surrender. There's such a beauty in trust. There's such a beauty in, you know, giving my voice to a better cause, to whatever. And yet there's such a cautionary tale of abuse of power. So how do you see that in aspect to related to voice?
You know, I think that first of all, I will just preface it by saying I stand with the victim. Mm-hmm. But I still, at the same moment, I stand with the teaching. Mm-hmm. Because they work. And I think that with the sound, and I think that with the devotion, again, it comes to knowing who you are. And this is mm-hmm. where your sound has to work for you. Because if you don't develop your sense of self, then other people can take advantage across all borders of life, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And this is where we have to take the look at where we feel small, mm-hmm. you know, where in some way we feel dark or eclipsed, right? Mm-hmm. Where we feel yeah. unseen, like the new moon becomes black, unseen, right? Or yes. the sun gets yeah. swallowed in eclipse. We feel not there. You know, it's somehow inside how we have to kind of uncorrupt our system so that we read intelligently, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. right? And it's not any way to blame anybody, but it's where we have to recognize our sovereignty. Because still in that sovereignty, we can be fully devotional, but that does not mean with our eyes closed.
Yeah, I agree fully. I'm always amazed, or for me, when I work so much with voice, there's like a protective field that goes around me. I always feel that sound can protect me in my core, that nothing can penetrate me or hurt me. And so that yeah. is my fascination. I can understand how it can happen in certain I could understand even how it might happen in certain communities where everybody is asked to be quiet all the time. But especially yeah. in this community where there's such a beauty and such a practice of powerful, beautiful mantras, it was just very surprising. And I think you yes. said it very, very well. I stand with the victim and I stand with the teachings, right? I think that mm-hmm. is something...
And I yeah. think also in that it's not the first one. Actually, a lot of my friends who are in other lineages, they said, "Welcome to the club." And mm-hmm. I thought, yeah, oh, geez, thanks a lot, you know, because it was very traumatic, you know, because I lived in it for, you know, over 30 years. My family had kids in it. My friends have had kids. It's like generational. So it's even beyond what's visible on the internet. There's a deep healing that's healing coming on behind the scenes. And not everybody's coming through in the same direction. And that's fine. Everybody has to also be allowed to express and say what they need to, and we have to hold space for them. Right? I think this is very important that we allow that to be heard, to be seen, and to be looked at, because not everything is perfect. You know, nature is also like, so if we look about it, it's also in this way where we also have to see the shadow and light in all things mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. still understand who we are and our relationship to something that's greater outside of this human experience. I think a lot of the teachings is taking the placement off the physical teacher and onto the direct link to something much greater and much higher. But first, you have to know who you are. And this is where sound really is an effective tool. I think my punk rock years really helped to shape me because I screamed, you know? Yeah. And somehow, these primal sounds that you take from the depths of you get you to know who you are very quickly.
Yes.
If that makes sense, you know?
No, it makes total sense. Yeah, so I'm sorry. They say one last thing and then we have to run into a break, just a short break, because I'm so happy that you're with us. Yeah.
We could take a break. I mean, I just want to say just very shortly is that, you know, somehow and get out of this softness. This is also part of this Shakti, is this very primal space of knowing who we are and not having this mask of being good. We should be great, and our greatness is all of us, not just one part.
That reminds me of that beautiful phrase, and then we're going to go into a break. Stay wild, moonchild. Stay wild,
yeah.
Moonchild.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back again with Siri Prakash.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
The United States has the highest rate of incarceration in the world. At the Equal Justice Initiative, we believe mass incarceration has to end. There is this presumption of dangerousness and guilt that gets assigned to Black and brown people. We have to confront our history of racial injustice and commit to a new era of truth. There's something better waiting for us, something that feels more like freedom. Truth can inspire change. Please learn more at EJI.org.
Welcome back to Voice Rising. I am your host, Kara Johnstad, and with me in studio is Siri Prakash Jensen, professional Vedic astrologer, teacher, healer, and founder of the Golden Shield Institute, where they're teaching online and in Hamburg. I'm sure they're doing retreats soon all around the world. So we left off, we're talking all about voice. Talk to us about holding the frequency of love.
That's, you know, it's interesting because we think about, like, do we really understand what love is?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, like, I think first the frequency of love is being comfortable with yourself. Mm-hmm. This is a sense of accepting and this sense of compassion and awareness. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really easy to get into judgment and to put categories and put names on things rather than just say, oh, that's interesting, and let it go.
Yeah.
Right? We start to name things, and once we name it, then it becomes ours, rather than just go, oh, yeah, that's interesting, and then keep moving, right? So I think this space of love frequency is first coming into being comfortable with who we are and just allowing for this kind of this blossoming to happen, you know? Like, what is it? The rose has thorns. Sometimes mm-hmm. this blossom has this painful thorns. And I think that we think love is about this feeling of always being in the bliss, always feeling positive. And I think that this definition of love, I'm not even sure that I fully understand it.
Yeah,
just for me, that it's about this resonance of the state of allowing and recognition and acceptance. And in that, there's so much tolerance for what the other person is doing. Because it's not, you know, we can all pretend that we're Buddha,
mm-hmm.
sit perfectly, But then what's going inside and how we treat people in the day-to-day can look very different. You know, so it's really not about the show. It's about in the real world experience, how we allow and have acceptance without judgment or putting a name on it, just observing. Well, that's interesting, because we don't have to agree with everything, because once we start to have this disagreement, then we have this discord. Rather than just go, oh, that's interesting, move on. I think this frequency of love, you know, is something, it's hard to even understand what love really is. But maybe the state of compassion and acceptance is maybe one I can am more able to define.
Well, you said it so beautifully. This idea, it's not even an idea, it's the truth. If we look at nature, the rose, the beautiful rose that is also fragile, she does have thorns. The blackberry bush has thorns. The river is bending and weaving. The trees, the limb might be broken and it has scratchy bark and the leaves are smooth. And so there's all these many facets of, I mean, I say it often when I coach, I have a beautiful old 120-year-old linden tree, you know, right outside the window, and people are trying to get their perfect tone. And I'm like, look at this tree. They're like, yeah, what about it? And it's like, well, she's also bending and crooked and has rough bark, and she's gorgeous, right? And so if we can see our relationships with such harmony, maybe that would be it. Like, for me, the frequency of love would probably be not saying that I understand love, but this understanding of harmony. Do I have a little bit of smooth, a little bit of rough? Do I have a little bit of sweet and a little bit of sour? And do I have a little bit of bending and a little bit of straight? And somewhere you'll find that it all is then coming together in some very odd way, but in a, like you were talking about in the beginning of the show, if we think of ourselves as alchemists in, let's say, when we're going exploring our voice or our relationships, it's like, how do we then, you know, find those balances, right? If somebody is a little bit thorny, maybe we, you know, say maybe you want to have a bubble bath or something, and then it all relaxes, right? Yes.
Right. But, you know, it's also too, you can look at to the branches. Right, mm-hmm. So the branches on a tree, they're naked mm-hmm. right now. Who would think in a few months it's going to be bursting with leaves and flowers, you know? Yeah. So it's really, you know, it's like whatever, you know, you're watering is what you're going to get. And it's in this state of, you know, when we allow, we get into this natural state of relaxation. And that relaxed state starts to really create an openness and creates inner space within us. Because I think really when I think of love, I think about it's one part is for ourselves. It's also for just everyday people, not just chosen people that we like. It goes beyond that. But when we create inner space, you know, even like we're talking about with this like Yogi Bhajan thing, you go like, wow, how do I digest that?
Yeah.
You know, right? Because that's the reality of the world. It's not this perfect Beatles song, which I still love. They're great, but it's not that perfectness. You know, it's like, how do I adjust that and keep that space within me and stay open and possibility?
I do think it's so important because there are so many things that have become taboo to talk about, but only when we give it space can the healing come in. And it's and like I said, that's why I wanted to talk about it from the aspect of voice, or, you know, is this a shadow side of devotion? I love sweet surrender. I mean, I'm totally surrendered when I'm singing, and yet I see where, you know, some people might fall totally out of balance, or we might get into very difficult situations. And so it's this openness to try to figure out where can I also maybe even listen deeper? Where do we all fall into denial or not see, right? And what does this have, again, this is my path, what does this have to do with our truth and our integrity and listening to our intuition and also listening to the frequencies that are in the room that we might want to put into, let's say, the rose and has no thorns, or the tree which has only leaves and blossoms. It's like, no, can we see whole? I mean, can we experience whole, right? And it's very painful sometimes to experience whole, because as you're saying, I mean, where there's great light, there's great shadow. And a lot of people only want to see they only want to see the stage performance. I actually fall in love with the backstage. I'm totally into process. So I love watching people mix paint. I don't really care about going to the gallery to see it. I love the process of creation, right? But I think it's wonderful that you're able to hold so much space. Share with me, what are the current projects that you're working on, and what are you looking forward to in the next couple of months?
Well, you know, we are running a couple of things. So we have this group called Satellites of Love.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
because I thought,
That sounds like a punk rock band, actually.
Yeah, really. You know, because somehow it's also this space where if I can inspire people to have more openness and more tolerance for all the dirt, all the shadow, and still find all the light inside and just observe, we just keep beaming light. If one person walks away with that, then the next gets inspired, and then the next gets inspired. So we have the Satellites of Love that we have running. And then we have this thing called the House of Prosperity, where it's not just about this place where about earning money, but it's also for entrepreneurs, but like how you understand the foundation of you. Because I believe in conscious business. You know, part of my path, I worked it for Yogiti as one of the executives and leads. And I believe that you can create products that uplift people, that help and build. And so I think from having this business experience, I want to share with people how we can kind of bring into both paths. You can be a conscious CEO.
Yes.
You know, and not just take rocket ships to Mars. You can do good things.
We could, right? Invest in planet Earth at the same time. You know, Mars probably likes a visit, but it would be nice to take all that money and invest it in some clean water systems and clean up the rivers and oceans and do all those good things. I think that would be a nice place to start. Exactly.
Yeah. And I think it's also important because we're in a time of such uncertainty with skill sets of what to do next. And so, again, it goes back to this concept of the lion's roar. Let's turn and face it and figure it out. And I like to inspire people with that, not only through their practice, but practical skills. So those are the things that we're working on. And we see with 2022 how things open up where we can travel and meet with people. So this we are looking forward to.
We do see in this time of transition that the voice has become incredibly important, because when people can't travel, we can still have radio shows and calls and meetings and connections. Yeah. And the voice is what is our calling card, basically. I mean, we are communicating a lot more through voice than ever before. People can't see even our body language half the time, because even on Zoom, right, we're from the shoulders up or from the waist up. And so it's a really important time for us to find our voices, to find our true calling, to live that vocation that we have. And I'm gonna say your homepages if anybody wants to find Siri Prakash, and I can only highly recommend her. She's at the GoldenShieldInstitute.com. That's an easy one. Yeah. The Golden So the is included, the GoldenShieldInstitute.com. And also your astrology site is InTheNameOfTheCosmos.com, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And they can book sessions, and they can, and they can find their voice, and they can probably get an insight into what the stars are saying, and also what their own inner wisdom is saying as they deepen the practice with you.
I thank you
for being with me here at Voice Rising. It's been really a pleasure. You're such a wise, beautiful old soul, and stay exactly as you are. We'll keep on growing, of course. Yeah.
Thank you so much. It was such an honor. I so much enjoy talking with you.
Beautiful, beautiful. We will keep in touch. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.